You're listening to AFL Nation for the Beaumont Tiles Trade Club.
Preliminary final weekend arrives. The first tonight in the West, Melbourne and Geelong. The second tomorrow night in Adelaide when Port Adelaide and the Western Bulldogs meet. On AFL Nation, you're with Jared Waitley, Anthony Hudson, Jared Healy and Jordan Lewis for the call tonight. Our experts for car sales. Sell your car the hassle-free way with Car Sales Instant Offer. We've set up tonight and we'll delve deeper. We're going to touch base with both camps. Sean Griggs is going to join us from the coaching staff at the Cats. He'll be out there as the runner. And Alan Richardson, who has the GM of Footy Performance, has been a steady and guiding hand since arriving at the club. Let's talk a little bit tomorrow night. Luke Beveridge, so not much is going the Bulldogs' way at the moment. An untimely injury to Alex Keith that looks like Marcus Pontepelli's got through and ready to play. They're going to have a ping with Steph Martin, who hasn't played a full game since April 30. And they're trying to deal with the absurdists in South Australia as health authorities have denied them the right to train despite repeatedly testing negative to COVID in every state they've been to on this epic voyage.
We just deal with it comically. You know, it's the pandemic's serious. We know that. But this one's unreasonable. So all you can do is laugh at it. It's a bit like the quarantine hotel last week, the way our people were treated. You just got to let that wry grin emerge on your face and just have a little bit of a chuckle and move on. And our players, you know, they'll do that. We haven't even really talked about it. We've got a meeting, in about an hour and a quarter where we'll brief and we'll go through our planning with our players and we'll have a bit of a laugh about it then. And it's really the only way you can do it and focus on what's important.
So that's Luke Beveridge. The clubs have been biting their tongues for weeks.
Done a great job too.
Yeah, on what some of them have been subjected to in hotels and the like.
Fair to say, Nicola is not footy's favourite person. She's made some of the most bizarre decisions across the journey. Clearly has no idea about football, has no interest in football. But ultimately, what do you do if you're running the AFL? You've got to get on with government, otherwise the show stops.
Some of what was going on in Queensland was idiotic, and I don't know whether it will ever fully come out or not, but just indefensible. Like, you couldn't put a logical argument around measuring. So this is a group that's a COVID risk, is it? And all that's been put in place.
But a lot of these things aren't about science. I mean, a lot of these things are about compliance and control. And basically showing who the big dog is. And, people have dined out on it. Some people have. And the AFL, in their wisdom, have just accepted it, bitten their tongue. Clubs have bitten their tongue. And we're going to get a season away, which is quite phenomenal given the hurdles that have been in front of everybody this year. It's probably been more impressive than last year.
What of their on-field scenario, Jordan? So Keith is a wretched out for them.
Yep.
Steph Martin is a surprising in, given the way that it had been framed by Luke Beveridge across a few weeks now.
I think they're all heart, this football club. It's been a tremendous effort to make a prelim final. Their game is not in good order. If you look at statistically, they're so far off their best, of which they were able to sort of be at a consistently high level throughout the season. The last probably month of football hasn't been great, yet they've managed to win important games and close games off the back of, I think, you know, there's some star performances, and we take Smith last week, Liberatore probably the week before, but other than that, their captain's hurt. He's clearly not playing the best his best football because of that, but it's just heart, and that's what you have to admire about this footy club. So even coming up against Port Adelaide tomorrow night, Port Adelaide will clearly go in as favourites, but you just never write them off because they've answered every question. They've been all over Australia. They've been dealt probably the roughest hand of the four sides that are actually in the finals right now, yet they front up, and you could see there was a little bit of frustration in Luke Beveridge, and rightly so. Some of the stuff, you know, not to be able to train on the oval once they've had all the tests and everything's been done and they haven't been to a hot spot just does not make sense, but it's a credit to them, and I've got so much respect for Luke Beveridge and that football club.
Yeah, I think that's well said. You can't say much more than that. He's done an amazing job. They looked like they were going out on the straight sets scenario, and yet they found a way to win. It was a really impressive win. Got some injuries. Redefined Dunkley's role. I think his ability to tag, we'll probably see him go to Ollie Wines this week. Did a pretty good job on Lockie Neal last week. Did a great job on Parrish after half time, which it almost was the opening up of his form again. And so that was an inspired move. That to do something.
How do we read the Treloar? What's your version of Treloar?
Well, if you look at Treloar's form over a few weeks, it's not too bad. Mm. If you look at your form over Treloar last week, well, he had a shocker. And, you know, it's been well documented and potentially overly documented, given that everyone has a shocker. But he just looked like his energy wasn't there, as if there was something else at play. It wasn't a player that just the ball wasn't bouncing for him. He wasn't there for the chase. He didn't look like his head was in the game. So, I mean, he'll take that on as a personal challenge, I'm sure, Adam. But so too will the coach to find a way for him to propel himself back into some competitive form.
It's what happens when we go down to eight teams, when we go down to six teams, when we go down to four teams. Everything gets analysed. And, I felt for him a little bit because he's been a very handy player for them out from injury for a period of time. But I
mean,
think
he's being played out of position, but that's just what you... It's the whole thing about the... You can't have too many midfielders. And
I don't think he's played out of position. I mean, his best spot's probably on the inside. But
he's playing...
If he can't play on the wing...
But he's playing more as a forward at last week.
As a high half forward. I mean, that means he should be motoring. I mean, he's got the running capacity to play that role.
True, but he's played his best footy...
Yeah, I agree with that. But that's no excuse to be playing without energy.
I know, but so that's something they have to make a decision on.
What are they hoping to get out of Steph Martin? First up since round 12, hasn't played a full game since April 30.
Do you reckon he's been playing funny buggers up till now or not?
No, I reckon he changed his mind between Wednesday and Thursday.
Right.
I don't think he was playing him. And I reckon once Keith was out, and we'll only ever know in hindsight, I reckon they've gone all... Or bugger it. Let's have a go at this and see how much we get.
Yeah, it's very hard to know. I mean, Steph Martin has always been an athlete as a footballer, and he's clearly got a really nagging groin. It may be a hernia. No one ever has hernias anymore, but the guys that have got unsolvable groin issues, probably they have got hernias and they don't get fixed as much as they could. If he was 100%, he would have played last week. So I'm not sure if he's 80%, but he's there, I think, just to give a contest. He's not there to win. He's just there to give a contest and make sure that the ball isn't totally going one way, as it was with the big O last week. I mean, he just obliterated his opponent. It just showed that you need to have at least a big body there that you don't get obliterated.
Yeah, I just think it allows them to keep their forward structure, which is probably the most important thing. I know Young has come in and done a good job, but allows English to stay forward without Bruce being down there. So he just needs to come in and compete. He won't be the difference. He'll certainly want to contribute, but it allows their forward structure to remain.
What if he goes hard, rucks hard for 50, 60 minutes and then blows up and gets injured and comes off?
I wonder if that's in the planning.
Mm.
I legit wonder whether that's it. Go out for as long as you possibly can and we'll sub you out when the time comes.
Well, let's hope he gets through. I mean, ultimately, he hasn't played for a long period of time, so you're at risk of doing other soft tissue. I mean, they're not going to risk him if there's a large chance of him doing a soft tissue, but, I mean, it's a calculated punt. I mean, I think that's fair if you haven't played for – how long is it? It's months.
So it's round 12, and he was subbed out at halftime, so it's April 30 since he played a full game, which is rather amazing. And the Keith absence – so the last time Keith wasn't there, Peter Wright kicked seven.
Right.
Which was sort of an act of God, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think we have underrated Alex Keith's performance in the back half of the season. The back half was always going to be their Achilles heel, according to every analyst in the land. And yet in the last 2 months, it's been one of their great strengths.
We mentioned this last week, and I think Ruffy or someone said it on your show during the week, Jared. It might have been Lee Montagna, but... He left Adelaide as an intercepting defender, and he's gone to the Bulldogs and become a big to play on the Gorillas. So there's no bigger gorilla than Charlie Dixon.